Good morning, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and we have a very special show for you today. I'm going to introduce you to a new guest, a new friend, and then I'm also going to introduce you to a couple of guests who have been here before. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and I'm going to invite you to go ahead and share this video, share this show, because friends don't let friends miss out on the Roundtable Talk Show. And while you're sharing it, I'm going to go ahead and share it as well. While I introduce our first guest, Ms. Marlana White. This is Marlana's fifth appearance on the Roundtable Talk Show. She had a great time. And each time, one of the things I love about Marlana is that she's different each time. She has a different background, no pillow this time. And Marlana is an expert in so many different things. She's a coach. She does videos. She helps business owners. And we're going to go glamping in her house, in her backyard, anytime, not in the winter. Good morning, Marlana. How are you?
Good morning. How you doing? Welcome. Thank you so much for having me again.
You are so welcome. Thank you for joining me. I think I just need to pull up a seat for you, make you a regular. Like, you are one of the co-hosts of the Roundtable Talk Show. How was your Mother's Day?
Amazing. It was extremely busy. It was a lot different than usual. I missed my mom. I wanted to kind of hug her. And this is just was very, it was difficult, you know, because it's just things are different than they usually are. So, you know, Easter, I felt it, but Mother's Day, I really felt it. It was like, I want my mama. And she was telling me, you know, look, you know, I can't get a hug, but she said we'll do an elbow bump. So, but I didn't even get a chance to do that. So. But nonetheless, we still got a little something to eat and went to our separate homes and still, you know, did a little Zoom live.
Yes, it's something about Mother's Day, something about Mother's Day that no matter what, you know, you want that day to be special because moms are definitely special. So I'm going to move over and introduce our next guest, Belle Walker. This is her first time on the show, but I guarantee you, you'll love her. I already love her just because of the smile. I just love people who smile. So Belle Walker is the founder and lead consultant of Bellevue Consulting. Good morning, Belle. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me here. I am delighted to be part of a panel of experienced guests. I think that's going to make this an extra special show today. And yeah, really looking forward to the conversation.
I'm looking forward to the conversation as well. How was your Mother's Day?
My Mother's Day was excellent. I live on the other side of the country from my mother, my grandmother, my stepmother, all of those fabulous women in my life, but I was able to talk to all of them, which was fantastic. And my sister has been buying my mom Taco Bell as a Mother's Day treat every year since she was about seven, and since that was what she could afford. And so she managed to get Taco Bell delivered to my mom. So I know she had a lovely day and that made me very happy.
Wow. I mean, you know what? It's the memories. It's not the food. It's not the, you know, it was Taco Bell. It's just the memories. The fact that she's doing something since she was seven. I think that's amazing. Like I was saying, we were talking a little bit prior to the show. My son's 23. He's here at home with me. And he was just so excited. You know, and I was like, he reminds me when he was a little kid, when he was five or six or seven. And he was just so excited about, he got me flowers. And then I didn't take the flowers to my mom when we went to dinner. And he kept saying, you didn't take a picture of my flowers. You didn't take a picture of my flowers. I was like, okay, as soon as I get home, I'm going to take a picture of your flowers. And I did. And I posted them on social media because I just understood how special this day was for him.
Yeah, so, it's important for us to really express our love and our appreciation for these wonderful women. And I'm so excited that your son also understands and appreciates what makes Mother's Day so special.
Absolutely, absolutely. And speaking of mother, speaking of special, our next guest, this is his second appearance, and I know he'll be back as well. I had the opportunity to actually pop in on one of his shows that he does on Instagram Live, which is very amazing. And he is amazing. Good morning, sir. Amazing. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Mother's Day to those who it applies to. Happy belated Mother's Day, I guess we would say. I'm definitely excited and thankful to be back, and I'm looking forward to the conversation we're going to have today.
We are going to have a very exciting conversation, very educational, informative. We're definitely going to learn. But you just launched your book, your motivational speaker. You do so much, but you launched your book in memory of your mom. Tell us a little bit about that, please.
So today actually marks 2 weeks since I released my first book, Everyone Needs a Hero, Why Can't It Be You? And I specifically picked my mother's birthday, which was April 27th, 2 weeks ago, because that's my hero. So I wasn't able to be with her yesterday, but you know, I told her that you know everything that I'm doing really is in honor of her. So every day is Mother's Day. And I have to throw this out there because it feels special. So this is the book right here. We actually peaked at number 4 on motivational self-help books, making me an officially a bestseller. So it's pretty cool, pretty exciting. And it's just a story to, not necessarily a story, it's a book to help people unlock the greatness that lies within every single one of us.
Yeah.
Awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations. So you did that in honor of your mom. I just want to make that correction. Honor of your mom. But everyone needs a hero. Why can't it be you? What is your motivation behind the book?
My motivation behind the book is just to remind people that sometimes when we think about the term hero, we might only think about Batman, Superman. But no, I think your son could be a hero, right? Because if it was a unique Mother's Day for every single one of us, but his enthusiasm to want to show appreciation to you on that day, that's heroic. You know, those are heroic acts, whether it's your spouse or someone close to you when you have having a bad day and they just uplift you in that moment, they're helping you in that distress. So kind of reminding people that we all have greatness that lies within us. There's 7.8 billion people on the planet, but there's only one you. Nobody else has fingerprints like you. Nobody else has the spirit, the mind that you have. So really trying to push people to look inside themselves, overcome obstacles, and really unlock the greatest version of ourselves. And that's the whole premise. Like, that's what Sir Amazing really stands for. My name is Amen Mukendi Jr. But Sir Amazing is a symbol of how amazing it is that any of us are even here. Like, the chances of actually being the sperm that connects with the egg through conception is like 1 in a trillion. So the fact that we're even alive, and then the fact I'm a Black man, and I think about the situation that just came out last week. He was 25 years old, 27. So the fact that I'm even here right now, that is amazing. And I think everybody has gone through a different level of adversity in your life where there may be a situation where you in that moment didn't think you would get through, but we're here today. So that's really the idea of everything.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of the things that you mentioned early in this answer, in your response, is like the everyday heroes. And one of the things that I've seen through this global pandemic is more and more people are honoring the everyday heroes. I've seen different memes where they talk about, okay, we've laughed at, you know, the McDonald's employees, and we've laughed at, the people who clean the streets. Oh, they're, you know, nobodies sometimes. We kind of look at it like that. But we found out that these are the people who have helped all of us get through these times. It's the restaurant workers, the nurses, the people on the front line, the fire department, the first responders who have helped us get through. So they are everyday heroes as well. Belle, let me just ask you a question. Going through this epidemic, going through your personal situation, have you found more examples of everyday heroes?
Oh, absolutely. I, you know, even small touches, my car battery died a few weeks into the pandemic because I have a plug-in Prius, and I thought, well, it's plugged in, I don't need to drive it to charge the battery. Turns out it's the other battery that starts the car. And so someone from AAA had to come to my house and replace the battery in my car. And I was just so grateful that he was working, was willing to come. I had actually traveled out of the country a few weeks before, traveled back through JFK. And so, you know, I wasn't showing any symptoms, but there's still some risk there. And I deeply appreciate that someone was able to come and help me out in that time. I've also been trying to find ways to support our local grocery workers, local restaurants. I've been ordering takeout and sending it to the grocery store workers as a way to try and give back to as many elements of the community as I can. And it, you know, I never thought of grocery store workers as heroes before, but there's no question that they are. And I'm just so happy to be able to show that appreciation as a silver lining to everything we're going through.
Mm. Sometimes I have those moments when I'm like, Sharifa, that was a really great question. Even nobody, if nobody else says it, I pat myself on the back. But that was one of those times, because I do, you know me, Marlana, like I give myself so much credit. But I'm glad I asked that question, because what made you decide or inspire you to send food to the grocery store workers?
Well, I originally was going to send food to the hospitals, and I realized, I learned that a lot of hospital workers cannot accept unpackaged food, even if it comes from a restaurant, because there's concerns about safety. And so I didn't want the food to go to waste. And I thought, well, who else might like a meal? People at the grocery store, they're the, you know, the ones that I personally am really most dependent on in this situation. And so I got a couple of restaurants that I really love and really don't want to see go out of business. So if I can give some money to those restaurants and use that to thank the people who are helping me personally get through this pandemic, whether or not I get sick, it just seemed like a match that made sense.
Oh, that is so beautiful.
That's nice. That was very nice. Yes. Awesome.
Definitely.
Yes, I'm getting misty-eyed over here just at the emotion, the sheer generosity, the sheer thought.
I never thought about that. I would have never thought of the grocery worker, because a lot of people have been trying to give to the nurses and all that. So you thinking, I never really thought about that, but you're absolutely right. That makes all the sense in the world.
Please take this idea and run with it. I'm sure they would still appreciate a meal every now and then. So, you know, if other people want to copy that, I would be deeply honored to have more folks sending groceries, grocery store workers, food to support their local restaurants.
I think I'll do that. I think I'll take that idea from Belle Walker, because another one of the guests was talking about how she saw something on social media which said that write a letter to your neighbors and let them know, especially the elderly or the people who can't get out, that you are here to help. So, you know, add your number, let them know, give me a call if you need something from the grocery store, if you need some supplies, if you need something, give me a call. And she was sharing her experience. And one of the things that she said is that no one called her and asked for help, but she did receive two calls from neighbors who said, you know what, we've been living near each other for, you know, so long, and I never knew who you were. Thank you for taking the time to introduce yourself. And so I have found, and this one I want your opinion on, because I was having this discussion the other day with someone else, and they said that and what they've seen in this time frame is that most people are like all for themselves. They only think about themselves. They only think about, you know, how they're going to survive. And I was kind of blown away. I was like, maybe you should watch the Roundtable Talk Show. I said, because my experience has been completely the opposite. Everyone I talk to is finding ways to connect with other people, to do more for other people than they have in any other time. But maybe it's just me, which is, again, why I love the show, because I can ask other people, like Merlana, what has your experience been like?
Honestly, I've seen both. And, you know, every time I come on here, I'm talking to some level about the fear factor, and a lot of people who are extremely fearful and they want you to stay away, or they're like, I'm a part of, you know, the elderly, so therefore I don't want anybody, you know, they're just, it's really the fear. So I do understand in that some people are fearful because they're afraid that they're going to pass away from the virus. But then it's the other people, like you said, that are really like, you know what, I think I'm healthy enough to go out and still still help. My daughter, actually, she does Instacart. I'm not trying to plug that right now, but that's about, you know, shopping for other people, you know, again, trying to help them. And some of the people we've met, because I've gone with her just to kind of make sure she remains safe and things. And, you know, some people are like, I've been in here. I have not gone anywhere. I haven't stepped in my car for the last month or for the last 30 something days. And it's real. The fear is real. So there's those people who have not wanted to get out because of the fear. I actually had a friend of mine who I work with CBDparty.com. Now I am plugging that. But And we were working on our packages and our packaging because we had to switch things due to the coronavirus, because we were initially looking at a store and looking at providing CBD party packs for, you know, the lounge and for the clubs, as well for the dinner party, the people having the big parties. And then we had to pivot in order to help people for the personal size parties. And what I noticed was at one time, you know, we were fine and we were doing our business. Then the next day I came to her house and she had masks on. She was spraying everything down before it came in the house. And she was just like, you know, I could tell she was so fearful. But just yesterday, you know, we came out and that fear, you can see, went away. And many of the people were saying it was due to them no longer watching so much TV anymore. They were like, I just can't keep listening to it because I'm so scared. I mean, if it comes down to the killer bees or it's coming down to something that's going on, it just would keep you in fear all the time. So now she's like, you know, she came over my house yesterday, you know, we did a live, you know, about the CBDparty.com, and it was totally different. So she was like, really, I just had to stop watching TV. And I talked to my mother about that as well. I was like, if you keep watching the TV, a lot of people I know, they're like, you know, they're fearful. But if you come out of that environment, and as you guys know, I'm also HP Marlena, High Priestess Marlena in the house. Everything I talk about is getting rid of the fear, not living in a fear-based environment. Don't allow certain things to come into your hearing, into your seeing, because then it comes into your spirit. You have to be careful of that. And I did want to go back to what you said, young man, in regards to, and I'm saying young man because I really think I'm old, in regards to the whole hero thing, you know, because I honestly, I mean, as small as it may seem to anyone else, I was shocked that someone helped me at the Home Depot. I had some dirt, and one of the things I like to do is go in my yard and plant and things of that nature, especially during this time, just to ground myself and stay out in nature. And so I went to Home Depot and picked up some dirt. Now, the dirt was so heavy, I was struggling to get it in the car. I was having such a hard time. And I dropped the bag multiple times, and I actually sprained my wrist somehow. It still hurts, but I'm not going to the hospital because I don't feel like it's worth it, you know? But, you know, and the gentleman helped me. He said, I'm not even going to ask you if you need help. He just helped me. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so thankful for that, because I knew nobody was going to help me. I just knew nobody wanted to come near me or come around me. It was almost like I feel like I have the plague or something. Everybody's treating everybody like they have the plague. And so I was just so grateful. And that day, I don't know who that gentleman is, but he was my hero that day. You have no idea. So the simple, smallest bits of kindness can really touch someone. And I tell you, I have goosebumps right now, because at that time when I was struggling with that, I really felt like I wish I had somebody with me. I wish my daughter was with me or somebody was with me just to help me. And I didn't have anyone. So I could only imagine what those people who are in the homes by themselves, you know, are going through, and mothers or whoever. I even had one of my mother-in-law, she actually called me as well. And she was saying, you know, I'm so happy I got remarried because her husband passed away. She said, otherwise I would have been alone. And then I was thinking about my mother, and I'm like, well, she is alone. You know, she's in the house by herself, no kids there, anything. So, I mean, just feeling that, I understand that, you know. I'm sorry, that just seems so long and long-winded.
Hey, you know what? It was long-winded about halfway through. I was like, this is getting kind of long-winded, but I love it.
I'm sorry.
It was good. It wasn't boring. I felt every moment of it. And that moment, right, where you were long-winded is what people tune into the Roundtable Talk Show for, because it's not scripted. It's not everyday. People are authentic. People are real. People are feeling whatever it is that they feel it. I can tell you feeling good this morning. I think you've been on CBDparty.com or whatever.
I did. I was having a ball yesterday. We did have a ball, I'm going to say.
As it should be on Mother's Day.
Right?
I don't even know where to go after Merlana. Like, I just want to hand over the show and, like, you take it from here. She's having her own party over there, having a good time. I love your outfit, though. Let me just go back to the women in me. It's like, next time you buy something like that, buy two. Like, just know that Sharif is going to want one. Belle may want one. You know what I mean? Buy a few of them, because it's beautiful. The background is beautiful. You have your products laid out in the back. See, that's why you're here every week. She's like, marketing, that's what I do.
Thank you.
Okay, if I can
hard. Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was if only getting an outfit that gorgeous would also give me the ability to array my entire background scene the way you do, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I was saying thank you. I was just saying, I just wanted a reason to just kind of put on some of my prettier things. Like, you know, I'm just so tired of wearing the same pair of jeans and shirts.
Merlana's like, look, people, there are people. I'm gonna leave Merlana alone for a minute. I want to go back to you. It's so much that you said that I wanted to touch on, Merlana, the Instacart, the helping people who are shut in, but I have to go over to Bell right now. I want to talk about, and this is just off, just way off, but one of the things that you talked about is Merlana's outfit and how it, you know, may help with the background. And to me, and this may sound really weird, but you're one of those people, because I love to do makeovers for people. Not that you need a makeover, but I would love to put your background and you in like something bright. Like I would just love to just brighten it up, because it's like the sweater matches the couch. And it's like, okay, she may be afraid to take some risks. So let's talk about a little bit of risk and what you do in Bellevue Consulting. What happens at Bellevue Consulting?
Yeah, so I help executives reduce the friction in their day-to-day operations. So I have an engineering background, and one of the things that I've realized is that you can apply quite a few engineering principles, especially from mechanical and systems engineering, which is the fields I've studied, to people, structures, organizations, as long as, this is a huge caveat, as long as you have taken the time to understand their strengths, their weaknesses, their motivations, and so you're able to take that humanity, what makes them unique, and find out how to fit them together. And so there's a history of something called scientific management that basically encouraged managers to think of people as interchangeable cogs in a machine, and then optimize that machine around their people. And that didn't really work, because people are not interchangeable cogs. But the reality is, if you're making a watch, your actual cogs are not interchangeable either. And so it was a misapplication of the engineering and scientific concepts based on this faulty premise. And so if you take the time to understand the people the same way, you know, a mechanical engineering undergraduate student has to learn about different types of steel and different shapes of beams and what works together under compression or under different forces and conditions, you can take that mindset and then help organizations position people where they are going to be most successful based on who they are and what their motivations are in the world. And so it is a risky, coming back to your question around risk, you know, it is risky for me to talk about applying engineering science to people, because when I lead in with that, you know, people can feel turned off or are afraid that I'm going to overlook their individuality, their humanity. But I think once you bring that all in and all together, you can add so much more to the conversation, which is really valuable for the organizations and for the leaders. They get so much more out of it. They're able to connect more as well.
Connection is one of the prime, I guess connection is our conversation for today. But one of the things that you mentioned is that you help the organizations, especially the executives and the leaders of the organizations, to see people more as individuals, even though we understand that, I don't want to say their numbers, but, you know, especially in large companies, when I have to hire 2,000 people, I can't be like, oh, who's creative? Who's wonderful? You know, you have to fill these positions. And one of the things that I've seen in this time frame is, you know, companies talking about a pivot. Almost every company, every individual during this pandemic has had to pivot and change in some way in order to remain sustainable. And one of those ways that we've been discussing quite often is the whole work from home aspect. And so companies have been struggling to find ways to make sure their employees are successful at home. Have you been speaking to your clients about this?
I have to some extent, although the work from home element, where I am most effective for teams and organizations is when there is some underlying stability. So if you are constantly pivoting in an era of uncertainty, taking the time to try and align those people and those structures to work best for your goals, you're going to be rethinking that regularly as well. And so if you've got the bandwidth and the energy to also be pivoting your organization and your structure, then by all means, I think now is a great time to be taking that perspective. But it is another layer of complexity. And so a lot of what I've been doing has been helping my clients to get from where they are now to a point where they are feeling the stability in their business goals and their priorities and where they're trying to get to, so that I can then help them align that organization to be successful in their context. But I am, you know, speaking of pivots, I'm really curious to hear from Sir Amazing, when you put a book out in the middle of this pandemic, especially one that's so relevant around these everyday heroes, did the release go the way you had expected it to? I'm really curious if you had to do a pivot or got to do a pivot, depending how you feel about it, given the context that we're facing as you do this launch.
Definitely. Okay, so I don't want to lose your question, but it's three books that came to my mind when you were giving the breakdown and we're talking about dealing with people on a people basis when it comes to business. One is Principles by Ray Dalio, which I strongly recommend. The other one is Wired That Way. I can't remember the author's name, but Wired That Way, it gives a complete breakdown of the different type of personalities that we all have. And you can kind of combat and go through a sheet in that book to see, okay, if this person is a popular sanguine, that means they like attention. So you want to be real attentive when they speak. And then the third book, I don't want to lose it. It was Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Seek to understand to be understood. So those are three books that came to my mind, because especially now, especially with everybody having to shift the way we're interacting with people, those books definitely helped me a lot as far as communication. And so to answer your question, it was very unique. So I'm actually originally from Buffalo, New York, the city of good neighbors, which I wanted to plug in there because we've been talking about good neighbors this whole time. And I came to visit my family for a weekend in March down in Atlanta, and everything basically shut down in New York State. So it really wasn't safe. So I've been here for like 2 months now, and that altered things, but altered things for the better. So doing things virtually worked itself out. We still executed on a plan. I do have to now analyze people who I've gotten really great responses on the book. People like, oh, I want you to sign. I want you to sign. I want you to sign. I'm like, okay, we're not in the same city, and I don't really see it being good for anybody for me to try and sign things. So now I have to exercise and think of innovative ways to interact and engage with people to keep that connection and broaden that connection. And also, it was an opportunity to really use a lot of promotion, really attack things from a social media standpoint, from a digital marketing standpoint, as far as emails go. But we did hit our goal, and I'm excited because we hit our goal. And because of COVID-19, I had speaking engagements booked at colleges, high schools, middle schools, in between when I was going to drop the book. So that would have been even more notoriety. But how things kind of work themselves out with the universe, I was the week before the book dropped, I get a text message, and somebody sends me a message. They're like, so am I crazy, or does that really look like you? And it's a mural that one of the best artists, 16 artists from the city, are doing a mural that is going to basically captivate this time period at the Albright Knox Art Gallery, which is probably the biggest gallery in Buffalo. And I'm on it. So I was on the news the week before the book came out. So it was like, wow. And I'm a huge fan. I don't know if anybody here has read The Alchemist. I think I mentioned this before. But like, when you truly want something, all of the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it. So it just worked itself out even through these times. But I think that speaks to something that we talked about too, right? Marlana, you talked about, because I think the reason why you're so bubbly right now and happy is because the scenery. You've got bright clothes on. You got your flowers and your product in the back. Everything is connected. When you're watching the news, I've had this discussion with my dad so many times. Like, I used to work in news, Dad. I don't watch the news. I understand how impactful it is to our subconscious mind when we're sitting here and we're taking in negative energy. So all of those things kind of connected. So I think that's why everything moved the way it moved. And then with it being the time and me really taking an approach, because I actually gave the book away for free for the first 2 days. It was free on Kindle. I did that promo because I really just wanted people to have it in their hands. It really worked themselves out. Some people are like, I'm downloading and I'm buying a paperback. And I think pretty much every day somebody's contacting me like, I've ordered the book, or I really like the book. I want to talk to you about the book. So everything just kind of worked itself out. That was long-winded in itself. Sorry.
I was going to point that out.
Got a little long-winded there.
It was on point. I like it. That was good. I like that.
Thank you.
This is the show, the Roundtable Talk Show is the show where you never know how it's going to go. Sometimes people, you know, speak in short answers, and then sometimes people are long-winded. So today we're going to be long-winded because we have time and we only have 3 seats. So that was wonderful. I want to go back to what you were saying, though, Sir Amazing. When you, first of all, congratulations on everything that you're doing. I think that is a huge accomplishment, but you're one of those people, I just love how you're always so cool. Like, you're so cool and you're like, I was up on the building and, you know, and I'm like, okay, I would be excited. I would be like, oh my God, I'm screaming. I'm pretty sure you went through that phase, but you also make it like, it's just, you know, I don't want to minimize it by saying it's no big deal, but you're just like, the universe brought it to me. But how did they even know about you? How did they hear about you? Did they see the book? Were you an artist? Like, I need that's why I'm here, to get the details.
Okay, so this is how it happened. I was contacted by this artist back in August. So she reached out to me. She said, and it's really cool. She was like, I'm doing this particular project on how Black men are perceived in the media. And I'm like, I would love to be a part of that. And she was like, okay, the look is natural and we might do something with it, but we'll find out in a few months. So that was like back in August, I think. So I didn't even think much of it. I think we had spoken maybe one or two times since then. And then all of a sudden I got the text message and I was like, oh, wow. And when I did it, I was like, yeah, you know, I had in my mind, like, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And I believe when you really manifest things, they come to fruition. That's the power that we all have. I was like, you know, something cool is going to come of this for sure. Didn't know it would be a mural in the Albright Knotts Art Gallery and that news story would drop a week before my book was released. It was just, I don't know. So yeah, like I try to take things with a grain of salt, because ultimately for me, it's a pretty big accomplishment, but this is only a cornerstone of what I'm really trying to do and how I know he's really trying to use me. So that's really the whole mission. That's the whole representation of Sir Amazing, so that people know, like, you know, whatever you deem as successful, whatever your goal is, you can reach your mark. And I feel like my job is to continue to push so that other people can push themselves as well.
I love it. I really want to ask, because, you know, I just want to know what age group you're in, because you just seem so like, no, okay, I got this. You know, I just wonder, do you mind me asking?
Go ahead. I am 27.
Wow, that is amazing. I love that. Oh my God, that is a major feat. You're absolutely right, especially at your age group. Like, you really, you know, act like you're like in your 40s or something. And like, what you have accomplished is like, you know, that's something that many of us want to accomplish, you know, or people don't get a chance to accomplish until later on in their life. So that's amazing. I love that. Congratulations.
Thank you. See how it just rolls off the tongue. Amazing, right?
Mm-hmm. It is. It's amazing. It's so amazing.
Yes. I love it. And I just love how cool you are. I had to actually, after our last show, and this is how, you know, sappy I am, because I kept calling you so amazing. I'm like, you are so amazing. So I had to go download the song after the show the last time. And I truly listened to the song, and certain people in your life that you meet who really are amazing. And I love how you take it in stride. But there was a reason why I asked for more of the details, because usually when someone tells you the backstory of what happens, you can see different life lessons in it. And when I see what happened, It's opportunity, meet, and preparation. A lot of things that happen to me, people are like, oh my God, this happened. You know, that's, you got there. That's wonderful. And I'm like, yeah, but it's because of something I did 4 years ago. It's something, someone I met 5 years ago. It's, you know, it's an interview where I spoke to someone 3 months ago. It usually isn't based on what I'm doing right now. It's the opportunities and the networking. Cause I'm truly one of those people who believes that your net worth is in your network. So I always try to say yes to opportunities. I'm not one of those people who like, okay, what are you going to pay me for this? Or am I going to get royalties for that? Yes, I want to make money like everybody else, but you never know how those opportunities that you do just out of the kindness of your heart, just to help someone else, can pay off in the long run. Because look, you made the news. You're on this mural based on just going in, and basically kind of how I read it is like, you were just having fun. Like, I'm just here. It's an opportunity in itself. If it goes somewhere, cool. If it doesn't, cool. And that's usually when people open up doors, especially, you know, I'm in California, in Long Beach, LA County, right near Hollywood. And that's one of the things that they talk about in Hollywood, is doors usually open for people who are not always trying to get those doors to open. You're just a cool person. People like you, your friends like you, people like to hang out with you. And they're like, you know what? I want to spend some more time with Sir Amazing. So let me do this with him.
Definitely. I mean, that's really how a lot of it goes. I'm a big proponent on, so I feel like, maybe it wasn't here, but gardening was something. I don't know if we talked about it today. Somebody just mentioned gardening to me in the last 24 hours.
Talked about it a few minutes ago. I'm staying close.
Okay, you did mention gardening, right? Okay, yeah. So boom. I'm like, let me make sure I'm not crazy. But I'm a big proponent of, our minds are like soil. So we always are planting seeds. That's why it's so important to know what we're putting into our minds, what we're watching, what we're listening to, the people that we're around and the energies that we're absorbing. Our minds are like soil. We're always planting seeds, and that's basically what you said. You plant those seeds, and if you think about a garden, my dad is—he loves doing his garden. I was helping him out yesterday because actually tomorrow is his birthday, so it's like boom, 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 boom. It's how the schedule works in my life. But
when you do a garden, to your dad.
Thank you. When you're gardening, you have to tend to your soil twice a day. You've got to pick weeds. You got to watch out for animals. You got to put out grass seed and mulch. That's just for the garden. Our minds, we have 60,000 thoughts per day. 80% of them are negative. So it's like, you got to work 1,000 times as hard just to put yourself, at a balance. I remember hearing a stat from MIT that said, it takes, if a person tells you you can't do something, it takes 16 people telling you you can just to even the score. You need a 17th person to tell you so that you can actually believe again. So a lot of it is just what we're putting in. And like you said, I've done a lot of work throughout the city of Buffalo, a lot of community work, a lot of just, you know, if somebody contacts me and they want me to come to their event and just show support, I try to show support for all types of visions, because at the end of the day, that's how we grow as a world, as a society. And I want somebody to support me. So it's like the golden rule. I used to think the golden rule was do unto others as you like them to do unto you. But what I've learned the golden rule truly is everything that you do to someone will be done to you. So that's kind of how things work.
That's amazing. I don't like to keep saying that word over and over, but it really is amazing. And the signed books, one of the things that I found worked for me when I was really marketing and promoting my book, Signs You Might Be an Entrepreneur, How to Discover the Entrepreneur in You, is I did a whole campaign based on a signed copy. And so if they wanted a signed copy, they could order a signed copy directly from my website at ashsharifa.com. Because if they purchase it from Amazon, it's not going to be signed. But they purchase it directly from me, I would sign it for them. I would personalize it for them. And a lot of people responded to that. And it was better for me, because then I got to use my in-house inventory, which had a better markup and a better profit margin than what I had on Amazon. And it made the person feel better because they received a signed copy. So that's just a little thought that may or may not work for you. But marketing is what I do. And I like to help people be successful in what they do.
I love those opportunities where there's, you know, chances for everyone to come out ahead, right? Because your readers get that personal connection to you, or if they're giving the book as a gift, they can add that personal touch along the way so that whoever receives that knows that not only was the giver thinking of them, you were thinking of them, but it also benefits you as an entrepreneur, as an author, and looking for those opportunities to connect two different needs at a systemic level is one of my favorite things. So I'm so excited to see that on the author side as well.
Actually,
taking notes right now.
I did want to comment on what Sir Amazing said in regards to just the, you know, the times when you fail, in essence. A lot of times people kind of concentrate on all those no's, those, again, the people closing the doors. Like I said earlier, when I was looking to actually open up CBD Party in a retail store, and actually during this time, I had still been looking at different leases and things of that nature. And I called this guy, or called the agent for one location, and he just went off on me, okay? I mean, he said, I don't even know why you're still looking. This, during this time right now, what sense does that make? You might as well just stop calling around. And I was like, I mean, and my daughter was right next to me because we was actually at the location. And so we were just calling the number that was on the board, and he just literally went off on me. And I said, okay. He's having a bad day. So then I called another number and continued on my business. But that right there just kind of showed me, wow, like, you know, certain people can make you feel like it can't happen. Actually, before I had this business, maybe about 10 years ago, and this might be around the anniversary, I had a boutique about 10 years ago for full figure women. And I loved doing it. First, I vended and everything. But when I went into the mall, it wasn't as successful. And when I closed down the store, I tell you, I didn't even want to walk into that store again. I mean, it really hurt me so much that I felt like a failure because it didn't work during that time. So, but over the years, as I healed that, today, I would always tell anyone, I've gotten where I've gotten because I never stopped. I kept going, and it required me to build myself up, people around me to help build me up, those yeses, like you said, Sir Amazing, to finally come in to offset that one no. I mean, because I was successful before that, but that, and I had many other businesses, leasing houses, different, I mean, just different types of businesses going on, properties, and that one failure, like, knocked me out the park. I didn't want to do anything. I was like, I guess I'll go back to my 9-to-5. I won't do anything else, but it made me feel that way. So I totally agree with you. And I will tell anyone to this day, if it wasn't for all of the no's to get to this place, I wouldn't have gone through all the challenges to grow, all of the failures. I wouldn't have grown further because, you know, I think I was looking at things kind of small. And now I'm looking at it so from a different perspective altogether, you know.
You also sound like you've developed the inner strength to be at least 15 of those yeses to counter no, right? That story of someone going off of you as you were telling a story, I was, you know, I have confidence I could bounce back from that, but it would not have been immediately, right? I would have needed a minute, you know, my daughter with me to say goodbye. And so it's so inspiring to hear you tell that story and how you were able to express that empathy for the person on the other end of the phone and then turn yourself right around, right? You didn't need those right. 16 yeses from other people right now. And I'm, yeah, wow. And if it takes a couple failures to get there, all right, that's something to remember.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I always tell people it's the challenges that build you up, really. You know, you can have people around you to validate you all you want, but you'll always be reaching for that validation. So if you can't get to the point where you can validate yourself and you have the confidence level in yourself to do it yourself, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard road for you because as soon as somebody says the no's, you're going to feel like a failure again. So it's going to require you to actually feel that way, to fill any of those shoes. Absolutely. It's going to require you. Not other people. You're gonna have to build yourself up. It's real.
Yes, I completely agree, Merlana, because I had the same experience on Facebook one day. I made this post and I asked people to name one word they would use to describe me. And because I was curious and I was just nosy as hell. So probably not supposed to say that on TV, but I was like, I wanted to know, like, what do you think of me, honestly? And the word that kept coming up was tenacious, 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 tenacious. And I was like, oh my God, that's a really great word. Because I always talk about I'm here because of everything that I went through. I was homeless. I was laid off 8 times. And when I say 8 times, people think I kind of rounded up to mean like a lot or a few. No, there were literally 8 different companies who laid me off, you know, divorced twice. And people like, you never give up. I'm like, is there like a give up option that I could select? They'd be like, I give up. I tap out. Right. Let me go ahead. No, there's not. Like, you have to keep going, you know? And one of the things that you mentioned, Marlana, is you said that you wanted to, I don't know if I heard this correctly, either you wanted to or you did return to your 9 to 5. And when you said it, I was like, I know Marlana by now. Even if she went back to that 9 to 5, she didn't stay, you know what I mean? Because that's what happens as entrepreneurs. It's like, I tell people, I literally had an argument with God. God was like, I want you to help people. And I'm like, nope. I'm getting a job. In 6 months to the day I would go get that job, I would be laid off. And God would be like, help people. And I'd be like, nope, getting a job. And then like around the 7th time, he was like, help people. And I was like, okay, Lord. Okay. All right. Let me help these people. Okay. Because every time I don't, my life falls apart, you know? And now that I'm helping people, I'm talking to people, I'm giving them a platform to talk about their dreams, their struggles, what they learned. So that's one of the reasons I like to ask detailed, specific questions, especially like what I was asking Sir Amazing, because I always tell people my story is not for me. Everything I went through was not for me. It was for me to empathize and to share my story so I can benefit myself.
Yes. Absolutely. Agreed. I totally agree with you, because it's always a system to where you're going through it so you can empathize for someone. So I totally agree with you there. That was so on point. Absolutely. And no, by the way, I did keep my job. I had my job then. I had my 9 to 5 plus my businesses. And I still have my 9 to 5. And then I still have my businesses. And actually, right before the quarantine, my goal, and for the last 6 months or so, to about the last 6 months to a year, I've been saying I don't want the 9 to 5 anymore. And actually, during this time, this is actually been one of those times where the 9 to 5, because I was able to go totally, you know, teleworking, you know, so the 9 to 5 actually is assisted me during this time. But I kept saying, I don't want to work by the end of 2019. I don't want to have a job by the end of 2019. And I was actually kind of feeling some kind of way that I did. But yet I was still feeling myself out. So I said, okay, well, we'll see how it goes. So I never quit my 9 to 5. I've always had it. And so I always felt like, well, maybe if I quit my 9 to 5, then the rest of the businesses will flourish. But instead, what I did was I brought on my partners to where it didn't just require me. And I recognized that was the key to my success. Other people working with other people, helping more people, coming together, because I just can't do it all. I try to be superwoman. I just can't do it. I can't do it.
But that's good that you didn't, because what happens is most of the, you know, as a business consultant, especially the new business owners and entrepreneurs that I work with, the first thing they want to do is quit their job. Like, quit your day job. That's the message. That's the subliminal message that goes out. And it's like, okay, no, if you have a job, keep your job. Keep your job for as long as you possibly can, because if not, you're going to be dependent on the profits of your business to survive. And those profits may take 2 years or 4 years or 10 years, however long it takes. People always talk about someone that is an overnight success. But no, it takes years, long, you know, I've been doing this since 1994, and I'm just now starting to see the fruits of my efforts, but I kept going. Belle, you are an entrepreneur. Tell us about your story. Tell us about how some of the things you've learned to get you to where you are today.
Yeah, so I actually founded my consulting company back in 2012, right when I finished grad school studying systems engineering, and started in doing some consulting engagements and straight up got cold feet and decided to let somebody write me a paycheck for a while longer while I evolved my practice. And it was a great decision, because not only was I able to, as you said, have that support while I was developing my business, but I also learned a lot from the work that I was doing. I was able to really test out and evolve my practices on my own team, because I was running a large enough organization. And so I bring so much more to my clients now because of that time, than I would have if I had just jumped right in. And I love your comment about the overnight success. The success may be overnight, but the work was certainly not the 24 hours before. Right? It takes all those years of energy and effort to be ready for those bursts of success to hit you. Mm-hmm. So it's been, you know, I decided to switch to consulting full time almost exactly a year ago, and it definitely took some courage to decide to go that path. But it's been great. I was telling my husband a couple weeks ago, you know, I don't see a future in which I go back to working for someone else anytime soon. The ability to know that when I'm working my butt off, it is for me and the things that I care about and I'm passionate about, helping the people I want to be helping, is incredible. But I also work with a lot of leaders who think that it's all on them. And that's one of the things I try to show them is you can't take everything on you. And we talk about delegation. It's in all of the books and the teamwork and the support. But one of the things I like is being able to literally show a structure and what happens if that leader tries to take all of that work and all of that responsibility on themselves. You can see how they're going to buckle, right? But if you build in those other pieces, if you've got the interconnectedness, the support, you're so much stronger, right? A trust is going to be so much stronger than a single bar. And if you can think of your team as building you up and holding you together, and you enable them to be that support for you, it's very much a virtuous cycle that I love helping leaders to begin.
I'm going to need to call you, Belle. I'm just saying. Because that sounds good. I like what you just said. I need that in my life. But that, agreed. That's exactly what I was trying to do. Even last year when I got like a publicist and I started hiring people, it was on the strength that, okay, they kept telling me I needed help. Because every time they asked me for a new opportunity, I kept saying, no, I don't have time. That's what I kept saying. I don't have time. I can't do this. How do you expect me to do this? That's what I kept saying. And my publicist pushed me. You know, I still give a lot of credit to her because she pushed me a lot to get help. And had she not done that, I would have never, I mean, for me to even get a publicist, that was already a step for me. But now you're trying to tell me to hire people. Like, I could barely afford you. What you trying to tell me? Hire more people? You know, are you serious right now? And so, but what I did was I got some interns and I paid them like a stipend. And then I started showing them how to make my body products. Oh, by the way, I make CBD body products, mango butters, honey baths, different goddess baths, things of that nature. And I had a retreat, and I have a retreat in the summertime. Ask Sharifa, because she said she's not going to come glamping unless it's summertime.
don't tell all my business, Marlana. Don't tell all my business. I'm just saying, okay, Washington, D.C. is not where I want to be in the middle of the winter, okay? I'm in Long Beach. When I finish this in 7 minutes, I'm about to walk, take my daily walk to the beach, okay? That's where I like to be. I'm not going to be glamping, okay? Stop trying to distract me. I'm trying to be serious with Bill. Bill and I are trying to help you. They're promoting your products. Every other word is, and I make this, and I make that. You know what I mean?
I'm just saying. But
it's amazing. Shame. You keep thinking she's going to run out of businesses to promote, and she never does. It's incredible. I love it.
Like, get a couple people to just help out, that helped me. And I wouldn't have done it. I couldn't have gotten this far without that help. Yeah. So thank you so much, Mel. I need to learn more about that, though. Yeah.
No, but a lot of entrepreneurs need to, that's like, there's, you know, pros and cons, which again, I talk about in my book. I'm learning from Marlana. You got to do that shameless self-promotion. But the most difficult aspect is delegation, you know, because when, you know, the last, you know, company that I really worked for was American Express. This is a large company, you know, and there's always people, someone, that's their job. They do this, they do that. There's a specific job. But when you're a business owner, you're self-employed, you're entrepreneur, you wear every hat. That's one of the things that I always talk about. Even if you have a passion for what you're doing, go get your degree in it. If you're not going to get a degree in it, take a class, you know, get some type of certification in it, because it's nothing worse than having a passion for something, but not understanding the back end, not understanding the accounting aspect, not understanding marketing, not understanding sales, because you have to wear every hat. There's no one that you can send it over to their desk, because now Belle's responsible for the customer service and Merlana, she's responsible for PR, and Sir Amazing, he's our spokesperson. You do everything, you know, so there are pros and cons, and I have truly enjoyed this conversation. I have a wonderful time giving Merlana a hard time, but we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and what I love to do at the end of every show is just allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to everyone who's watching live, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance. And I'm going to start with you, Sir Amazing.
I thought it was ladies first.
Not on this show, not today. Your book is in honor of your mother, so we're going to give you some time.
Okay, so thank you again for having me. I'm very blessed and happy to be connected to all these lovely ladies on this Monday morning. What I would just want people to do is check out the website, siramazing.com. If you spell it the right way or the wrong way, it's going to take you there. And I really feel like at this time, it's the time to read a book like Everyone Needs a Hero. And it's Everyone Needs a Hero, Why Can't It Be? Let me say the whole thing. And I say that because there was something I wanted to touch on real quick. 25 seconds, I'm counting right now. I think about success a lot. So I talk about in my book, me, I'm 27. I grew up in the hip-hop NBA era. So when I thought about LeBron James and Bow Wow, they bought their mom a house at 19 years old. So for me, that was always a measuring stick of my success. So when you talk about the overnight success, now granted, those are two different people in two different fields, but that is part of some of the challenges that I have gone through and even continue to struggle with. So that's the most important thing for me that I want people to take is use this book as a blueprint. It's very interactive and you can start to map out your goals and honestly also deal with some of the traumas and demons that you may have dealt with like myself. Thank you.
I don't even think you took the whole 26, 25 seconds. I think that was great. And everyone definitely go and pick up a copy of your book. Where is your book available?
It is available on Amazon. So I'm doing the Amazon thing for right now with everything that's going on. But if you go to my website or my link tree, it's on my Instagram, you can easily access it.
Absolutely. Belle, what do you have for us?
Yeah, I think for me, the key takeaway is I want to come back to the idea of sending takeout food to the grocery store workers, because if we can get more people doing that, I think it will serve many needs. On the personal from my business side, Bellevue Consulting is my company. And if you're feeling friction in your organization, if you're feeling stuck, you're feeling like you are not as effective as a team as you used to be, there are ways to address it systemically that still honor and respect the individuals that you have chosen to work with. And I would be delighted to talk you through how that process could work for you. So that's, I think, the key takeaways for me.
I like that. Just had a quick question for you. Do you only work with businesses of a certain size?
No, I've worked with businesses of all different sizes. I have not yet worked with a solo entrepreneur, so I'd be open to it, but I can't say that I've got a success story there. But I've worked with companies around 5 people that are looking to grow, and I've worked with organizations up to about 250 people. Not the giant, huge organizations yet, but I really prefer where I can get to know the individuals. So, you know, anywhere up to a couple hundred people is really my sweet spot. And thank you so much for having me. And I also want to note that speaking of taking notes, when I look at the little windows at the top, one of these things is just not popping. And I'm going to make sure that I remember that for the future. So. Thank you for giving me some tips on how to present. I like it.
I love it. You are so funny, Belle. You said it. Like, I didn't want to say Belle's not popping, but you said it. That's why I said, I do this all the time. It's not just for you. But when I see someone who's like really attractive or really beautiful, but I notice that they're hiding their beauty behind, like, not that glasses are ugly. That's not what I'm saying. But like, they're making a conscious effort to tone themselves down. I'm like, I want to just make it bright and liven it up, you know, throw some pillows on that couch back there. We're going to get you a whole new backdrop when you come back. And I know you're going to be back because now you just had too much fun not to come back.
Absolutely.
But anyway, I went a different direction. The reason I asked that question is because at AskSharifa.com, right now I have three people who work for me, and I'm looking for ways to expand and to grow into actually a large company. Because one of the things I always talk about is sometimes people get stuck in the entrepreneur level. They, like, for the next 50 years, they're entrepreneur, and everything really is supposed to go in stages. You start out as an entrepreneur, solopreneur, so that you can build a company, which I hope my dad's watching today, because this is a conversation my dad and I have all the time, and he tunes into my shows just so he can pick them apart. He's like, "You're always doing this. You're all." I'm like, "Dad," but he's had his own business in California since 1985. This is one of the ways that I've learned. You know, he has his own plumbing business. He does HVAC. But I'm like, "Dad, expand, expand, expand." And he was like, "Well, it's just me, you know, the old boy. I just do what I can do." And I'm like, "Okay." So that's what brought up that question for you, Belle. It's like, I want to work on the expansion that I'm always talking about.
Yeah, and this is the perfect size and opportunity to start thinking about it, because with a small team, you have a chance to really think about what are the elements you want to keep constant as you grow and move forward. What are the elements of your culture, your ways of working, and then you can use that to design what your next step and your future state are going to be, and create a roadmap and a path that lets you make informed decisions so you grow successfully and effectively. So it's a great stage to be thinking about that, and something I think you're right, a lot of entrepreneurs get very stuck in the here and now.
I love it. Marlana, go ahead and take us out.
Well, I just want to say thank you definitely to Belle and for Sir Amazing. Of course, you asked Sharif because it's been an amazing video, because I learned a lot more here as far as the hero aspect, and I love that. And Belle, like I said, we'll be contacting you because my sister needs to take it to the next level. But thank you, Asterica, again for bringing, you know, allowing me to come out on your platform once again. But I did want to shout out CBD Party DC, and we're doing a free giveaway all this month for the mommy meditation packages. So we're doing a free drawing every Sunday on IG. So you can follow us there at CBD Party DC on IG and enter to win and receive something free. Receive a free mommy meditation CBD Party pack. Thank you again.
You are so welcome. Thank you. And I want to thank all our guests for being here today on the Roundtable Talk Show. This is how a show should be done. We learned, we were educated, we talked, we shared, we laughed. And that's why I enjoy my life. I enjoy what I'm doing. And I invite you all to come back to another day, another show on the Roundtable Talk Show. I want to also thank everyone who's tuned in live to the show, as well as everyone who's watching in the archives. Please go ahead and share the show, because our guests are here to help you and to assist you. And so please help them and assist them by sharing this show. If you're interested in being a guest, visit the website at AskSharifa.com. Until tomorrow at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.